And we who are alive and remain will be gathered together for Bible study. You have it on the back of your prayer list there this evening, the outline for our lesson. It's in Luke chapter 8, the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8. We're studying the miracles that Jesus Christ performed while he was here on earth. There are approximately 33 different miracles, specific miracles. There are other times where it says he healed many of their diseases. We're not talking about all of those things. If we had to count all of those, it'd be innumerable. But 33 miracles where specific examples are given of what Jesus did. And the one we're looking at this evening is a miracle inside of a miracle. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, he starts on the miracle of healing Jairus' daughter. But in the middle of that, this woman with the issue of blood interrupts that whole thing. And so as we come to miracle number 14 tonight, miracle 15 starts before miracle 14, but it doesn't finish till after miracle 14. That's why it's miracle chapter 15. Did you get all that? Nani, you're the mathematician. You can explain that to us later, all right? But this is the next miracle. Again, if you're in Luke chapter 8, you'll notice in verse number 41, there's where the miracle of Jairus comes in. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But he went, and the people thronged him. That miracle continues on down in verse number 49, and goes to the end of the chapter, and we'll cover that one next time. But in the middle of that beseeching the Lord to come and heal his daughter, this woman comes along in verse number 43. Look there with me if you would. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." The healing of the bleeding woman. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for this Wednesday night and this opportunity to refresh ourselves around the Word of God. Lord, to sing these choruses and these verses. Lord, to rejoice and to show some joy. And God, I pray that they would not just be songs from our lips, but Father, they would come from our heart in great appreciation for what a good God you are to us. We pray as we look at this story, to many of us a very familiar story, a short story. We pray, God, we'd glean from it not only the historical value, but Father, the practical truth that we can count on today about the compassion and the healing touch of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless your word to each and every heart. Meet needs. Father, comfort hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Healing the bleeding woman, the miracle inside of another miracle. It's interesting to note that as we read, the miracle that starts before it is a man named Jairus, however you want to pronounce it. And he had a daughter that was dying that was about 12 years of age, the Bible tells us in verse 42. And then the story tells us about a woman who has had an issue of blood for 12 years. So at the same year that this daughter was born, this woman had something come upon her, a physical calamity, that now 12 years later is she's still experiencing as this young daughter lays a dying. And so the Lord's got some work on his hands. He's got one dying daughter that's 12. He's got another woman that's had this issue of blood for 12 years. I wonder what in the world he can do about it. Or if he can do anything about it. Of course, you and I, I'm preaching to the choir, we know the answer to that already. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And two miracles at one time is nothing for him. You know, we would think that one miracle is a challenge and stopping all of nature is difficult to do. And it is for you and I, but it sure wasn't for the Lord because he was God in a human body. And so being faced with two difficult situations at the same time was nothing for him. Can you mark that down? That dealing with two difficult situations is nothing for the Lord. You say, well, it's something for me. Well, then give it to him and let him deal with it. Sometimes we want to bear and carry the burdens and the challenges much more than we should. Now, we'll not minimize. Sometimes our burdens and our cares and our worries are tremendous. They're big. We don't minimize those things. But at the same time, we need to know that one that said casting all our care upon him because he cares for us. And so we know that the Lord can handle anything that comes along at any time. Here's the healing of the bleeding woman. This is one of the miracles, one of the very few miracles that's recorded in three of the Gospels. Again, only one miracle is recorded in all four. That's the feeding of the 5,000. But this is one of the few miracles that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we'll make reference to those other Gospels here as we go through Luke's account here this evening. Notice, first of all, in verse 43, her condition. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. Now, how do we delicately or politely address that? It is a female issue. All right, when she reached the age or somewhere past that age where that came upon her as a woman with the cycles and things, as you understand that, something was wrong with her that just did not stop. It did not staunch. It did not dry up. And so she's in a very desperate condition, one that 12 years later is without a doubt affecting her physically. Because the loss of that blood that's been a continual thing for 12 years now has definitely weakened her body. And so she's dealing with a problem that for 12 years she's been dealing with and has left her weak in her physical body. I would suspect that going through all she's gone through, and we'll talk about more in just a moment, that it's affected her more than just physically. It's affected her emotionally. As she has looked for the light at the end of the tunnel. As she has sought a way to get over this sickness or this problem, this physical calamity that she has. It's something she can live with, but not very easily. Because it's weakening her body and wearying her spirit. Physically, emotionally, financially, we're going to see. Now, I know nobody here understands this. But when you go through financial challenges in life, they drain you emotionally. Now, I know with all the wealthy folks we've got in here, nobody understands that. Never had a financial crisis, never been pressed to your limit, never wondered how the bills are going to get paid and how we're going to do this. No, we've all been down that channel, and we know how that can wear on us emotionally and physically. And so combine all these things in this one dear lady. This is no simple thing that she's going through. No light thing that she's facing. Spiritually and socially, this affects every moment of her day and every moment of her life. And for 12 years, she's been dealing with this issue of blood. We noticed, number two, the duration, and we've already talked about it. It's been going on for 12 years. You know, we have something that we know we can treat. We have something we know we're going to get over simply or shortly. It's kind of easy to deal with. We get a cold. We get something a head cold or something that hits us, even the flu bug. Some of those things will wipe us out for 2 or 3 days, but we know there's light at the end of that tunnel. Again, I don't want to minimize other things, but even cancer with the treatments and things we can go through, as devastating as it is, there's hope in that. You can do something. This woman had no hope. She's tried everything that was known to man at that time and had no remedy for what she's going through. So for 12 long years, she's been dealing with that. 12 years without any hope. We all go through challenges and physical difficulties. I don't want to minimize it, but you know what always helps me? A walk through Embassy in Cambridge and seeing the folks that are in the nursing home and are never going home. They're there to finish out their days. Folks at Astoria Place, we go in there and visit those folks, the other nursing homes and some of those things, and dealing with the reality of that. That will be a great challenge to your faith. And every time I walk out of there, I walk out with a higher step. Walk out realizing that my physical problems are not as great as sometimes I think they are. And again, I don't want to minimize our physical challenges and problems. This woman was in one of those conditions. One of those places where she'd done everything she knew how to do, and there looked like there was no hope. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. Notice number three, the doctors, and the Bible tells us here that she had spent all her living upon physicians. Isn't it interesting that Luke, the physician, would confess to us that she'd spent all her living. It had drained anything she had. She's flat broke. Now, we'll commend her. She has spent her money. She didn't leave the bills unpaid. But she has spent all of her living on physicians. In Mark chapter 5, we'll turn there in just a moment. Well, turn there now and you can see it. Mark chapter 5. Look at Mark's account. Mark's not so soft on the physicians like Luke is. All right, Luke is probably a member of the Physicians Association or whatever it is. No, I know he wasn't, but Mark says things a little more bluntly, I guess, is what we would say. Mark chapter 5. It says in verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians. Mark's got a completely different attitude, doesn't he? She has suffered many things. You ever suffered at the hands of physicians? Here, try this medication. This will help. What are the side effects of that one? Well, it'll do this. They don't usually know that ahead of time. They figure that out after you get the side effects and all this. And she had suffered. Apparently, many physicians had told her, here's what you need to do. Here's what will help you. Here's what will fix this. And she had suffered many things and spent all her living. We're trying to get the picture of this woman's condition, her hopelessness and her helplessness, and no one there to help her. And so it says she had suffered many things of many physicians. Luke, back in Luke chapter 8, says, neither could be healed of any. None of them could help her. No cure. Nothing in the doctor's manuals of how to deal with this issue. I am thankful for modern medicine. Sometimes we run down physicians and run down medical treatments and things like that, but those of you that have dealt with cancer and come out the other side, you're thankful for the discoveries in medical science since the days when there was no remedy for that. Randy going through open heart surgery, there were days in the past, 100 years ago, if you had that, you died. There was no treatment for that. They didn't know how to do what they're doing today. I'm thankful for those advancements. And surely even this woman's issue probably has something a little more treatable in our day, but back in her day it wasn't. Back in her day it was almost a death knell, and it's wearing her down and wearing her out, and she's not getting any better. Notice number four, the decline. She's nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Imagine the discouragement, dealing with the depression, with the sickness and the illness. Again, sometimes we need to be reminded that there's folks far worse off than we are. Sometimes we think that our situation, again, not trying to minimize anybody's situation, but we think ours is the end of the world. Ours is something that nobody's ever seen before in 6,000 years of human history. But we find out the Lord has dealt with everything once before, and He can deal with it once again. So we see her condition. And the Bible paints in just one verse, just verse 43, paints a very bleak picture. But then notice in verse number 44, we see her coming. The best thing she ever did was come to Jesus Christ. That is the beginning of her healing. That is the fullness of her healing. That is a fullness of a new life. And again, that's the picture that the Bible gives for us. We can't relate many times to the physical healing of the miracles of the Lord. But we can relate to the illustration of a woman broken and lost and hopeless and helpless coming to the Lord and Him just completely changing her from the inside out. That's what the Lord's able to do still today. And still does do to those that come to Him. We had the opportunity, Brother Mike was with me, Brother Bill was with me. We went up to Joy Baptist Church last night and heard Brother Paul Ionello preach. And we were kind of joking, he preached two sermons. He preached a sermon to the church, that was the one that God had laid on his heart about getting your second wind, your second breath. Not quitting on God, keeping forward, pushing forward, pressing toward the mark. And it was a great message and encouragement to Christian people. It was very much a message about being faithful in church and regular in church and being in church. And of course, on a Tuesday night, that's kind of the ones that are faithful and regular in church. But he was preaching and just talking about the necessity of staying in church. Well, the row right in front of us were all first-time visitors. One of the older men in the church in the back had hired a young man to do some landscaping at his house. And he'd invited that young boy to come to church. And that boy had been there two Sunday mornings in a row. Big, tall, tall young guy, about 20 years old. So he'd been there two Sundays in a row, found out about the revival meeting, so he invited his grandma, his girlfriend's best friend, and they all came to church, and they're sitting right in front of me, and I'm thinking, wonder how they're handling this. You know, our country's a mess because people don't go to church, and these are people that are first-time visitors in church. Well, he preached for about 40 minutes, and at the end of that, he started preaching the Romans Road. Started preaching the need for salvation, and there was no doubt who he was preaching to. Because not only was he preaching, but he came down from the pulpit and stood on this side where they were sitting and looked right at them while he was talking about the need to get saved and to trust Christ and to turn and so you don't bust hell wide open. And I'm back there thinking, oh me, they're either going to get mad and stomp out of here or something's going to happen. And he gave the invitation. And with our heads bowed, we didn't see what was going on. He said, if you need to trust Christ as Savior, raise your hand. And that young man, that 20-year-old boy, raised his hand. Brother Doug Wilcox took him into the back and led him to Christ. The grandmother that was sitting right in front of me was probably maybe in her late 50s, something like that. She raised her hand. One of the ladies of the church took her in the back and led her to Christ. The boy's girlfriend or the girlfriend's friend, I'm not sure which was which, raised her hand, and Brother Ionello's wife took her out and led her to Christ. Just left one of the four that didn't get saved last night, and Robert texted me as we were driving back last evening and said she was in tears when she left. She said, I can just imagine when she gets home tonight and thinks about that, she'll probably bow her head and ask the Lord to save her too. But what a powerful message and lesson in what God can do for us and just change us from the inside out. And that's what the Lord does for this woman. Changes her from the inside. Her problem's internal. Her problem's not leprosy. It's not scabs on the outside, which is even an internal thing. But it's not that. It's from within. And the Lord, the Bible says that she comes to the Lord. Notice the prompting in Mark chapter 5 and verse 27. It said, when she had heard of Jesus. Well, there's a lot in that phrase right there. Mark 5:27, when she had heard of Jesus. We don't know who she heard from. We don't know how she heard. She might have overheard somebody else's conversation. It might have been someone speaking directly to her. But when she heard of Jesus, she thought, maybe he can take care of it. Maybe he can handle this. Maybe he can deal with this. When we're out in our life, out in our world, whether at Walmart, Aldi's, all the top-notch places like that, wherever we're at, you know what? Don't ever hesitate to talk about the Lord. You don't necessarily have to stand there and proclaim Him from the housetop or the rooftop, which there's nothing wrong with, but just giving Him glory. Just saying, praise the Lord. At a time where it sticks out and identifies you as a Christian. because no one else around there is talking like that. All it takes is for somebody like this woman to hear about Jesus. And it might be later. We don't know how long before this she'd heard about him. But apparently she didn't forget it. And when she heard that he was in the area, she made a beeline to get there and make sure she got there because she had heard of Jesus. We need not to keep our mouths shut, not to hide the gospel, but to boldly proclaim it everywhere that we go and talk about it to everyone we meet. You say, well, they won't appreciate it. They won't like it. Yeah, that happens sometimes. But you plant the seed and you never know how that seed's going to bear fruit. And so here's a woman that had heard about Jesus. That was the prompting. Then there was a persistence. Look back here at Luke chapter 8, verse number 44. She'd heard about Jesus, Mark tells us, and she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Mark calls it the hem of the garment, the same thing. But she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. You understand, when Jesus walked through all these villages and towns, people thronged him. In fact, here it's going to say, who touched me? And they're going to say, Master, there's people all around you. How can you ask who touched you? Anywhere he went, there were a lot of people around. This woman was persistent in her desire and attempt to get close enough to Jesus that she could touch the hem of that garment. She did not want to be afar off. She did not want to be away. She did not want to be at home watching it on Zoom. If Jesus was passing through town, she wanted to be right there. She knew that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, all that we had that heart's desire to be that close to God. That heart's desire to touch the hem of his garment. And that woman came, and in spite of all those that were around, in spite of the obstacles, people that would not have wanted her getting close there. That obviously, in her weakened condition, she probably was not walking upright and straight like everybody else. She might have stood out in the crowd as being different from everybody else. But she didn't mind. She didn't care about any of that. Her focus, this is what I like, her focus was on the Lord. If I could but touch the hem of his garment. You know what the devil wants to do? Keep our focus on anything but Jesus Christ. And he'll throw you anything he can throw you to get your focus out of whack. Not sinful things necessarily, but something to give your time and attention to instead of giving it to him. Her persistence, in spite of her disability, in spite of the crowds around it, in spite of her personal appearance, which probably wasn't like everybody else, she came and touched the border of his garment. You know, the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock. I don't think when the Bible says ask, seek, and knock, it's talking about one time. We went out last Saturday and went through Byesville and knocked on people's door. You know, you don't walk up to the door and knock, and then, oh, nobody's home. You walk up there and knock on the door, nobody comes. You wait a few minutes, you knock again, try to see if you can get somebody to come. Sometimes they come after the second or third knock. When the Lord said knock, seek, and ask, he was talking about a persistence in it, of coming faithfully before the Lord. Somebody will say, well, Pastor, I don't know why God hasn't done this for me. I asked him to do this. I said, how often did you ask him? Well, once. How many times do I have to ask him? Well, he wants you to ask. He wants you to seek. He wants you to knock. He wants you to be persistent. So she had her persistence. Then she had her privacy. The Bible says in verse 44, she came behind him. She was not seeking recognition, not seeking popularity or fame, not seeking notoriety. She came in her lowly condition from behind him simply to touch the hem of the garment. The Pharisees wanted to stand out in front in the limelight with their robes of righteousness on, proclaiming to everyone how good they were, confronting Jesus. This woman came from behind, holy and humbly, wanting to simply touch the hem of the garment. That's the ones Jesus pays attention to. Not the proud and the arrogant, not the demanding, But those that come humbly before him, sincerely, recognizing their frailty and recognizing their need, and coming before him. That's how she came to the Lord. Then the second half of verse 44 tells us, and immediately the issue of blood stanched. There's a word we don't see very often. In fact, that's the only time that word's in our Bible. The word stanched. It means it dried up. Mark says over in his gospel, the fountain of her blood dried up. That issue that had been flowing for 12 years that had weakened her so and debilitated her and made her basically an outcast from society, on which she had spent all her living and suffered many things of many physicians, in an instant, when she touched the hem of his garment, the blood stanched. It dried up. Notice the confidence she had in him. She said, if I may but touch his garment. If I may but touch his garment. That's what she said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. Again, that focus she had, that great courage, the confidence that she had, knowing this will take care of my problem. This will settle my issue. The problem is our faith. The problem is we don't think that Jesus can take care of the problem that we have. We have to formulate a plan. We have to find a way. We have to do something. You know, folks are like that about salvation. You witness to somebody and you tell them it's simply by grace through faith are you saved, not of yourselves, not of works. Lest any man should, oh, it can't be that easy. Well, it's not easy. Jesus had to give his life on Calvary's cross for it. He had to be rejected of men. But it's easy now for you. All you got to do is believe. All she had to do is believe. All she had to do is touch the garment, believing that would take care of the need. And the minute she did, she knew, if I but touch his garment, I shall be not partly healed, not temporarily healed. I shall be whole. That's what the Lord does. He makes you whole. Before somebody comes to know Christ as Savior, they're not whole. They might think they are. Oh, I'm fine, preacher. I'm all right. No, you're not. If you're without Christ, you're not all right by any stretch of the imagination. I say, well, I got money in the bank. I got a good job. Got a good car, good house, good family. Everything's fine. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for all that. But you're not fine. Because one of these days, all that gets left behind. And only what really matters is going to be around after that. You need to be made whole. You need to have that sin issue taken care of. If I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. The contact, she came and touched the border of his garment. The border, the hem. Why does the Bible take the time to give us a little detail? Why did she do it? She came and touched his garment. That would have been sufficient for us. But the Bible goes on to give us a further detail, touch the border, the hem of that garment. All she had to do is just get close enough to touch just the very end of that garment. And that proximity to the Lord was enough to give her that healing power. Oh, you and I aren't worthy of all the Lord has for us. We have no right to stand before him, but all we got to do is touch the hem. Just get close enough to touch the hem. Just get low enough. You know why it said the hem? You know where the hem is, right? It's down at the bottom. And all she had to do is get close enough in her crippled up condition and weakened condition to touch the bottom. She might not have been able to touch the shoulder. She couldn't reach the collar. But she could reach the hem of the garment. And that was going to be enough. Just to touch the hem. More about Jesus. More. That's what we want. We start with the hem and then we work on more. And get all that. And eventually we get those robes of righteousness that the Lord presents to us at the judgment seat of Christ. What a day that's going to be. The confidence and the contact and the completeness, the issue of her blood stanched. Immediately, after 12 years, after spending all her living, immediately Instantly, the Bible tells us immediately that blood stanched. That's the way the Lord's salvation is. It's immediate. I'm glad it's not a 12-step program. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not fulfilling your New Year's obligations or promises. It's simply coming to Him by faith, as those three did last night in that church service. Coming asking Jesus to forgive their sins and save their soul, and a couple of them 20 or 18 years old and one in their 50s. Doesn't matter how old you are, all you got to do is come to Him and immediately you're made whole. Immediately the sins are forgiven. I'm thankful that the Lord's salvation is complete. We don't have to do something to top it off. A lot of folks think, well, if you put your faith in Christ but you don't get baptized, then you're not going to get to heaven. Or if you put your faith in Christ but you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to get to heaven. You've got to follow up. You've got to do something. No, you don't have to do something to follow up to get salvation. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then He will follow up. He'll take care of the other things after that. But the completeness of it. So we've looked at the condition, the coming, the cure. Lastly, the confession, verse 45 to verse 48. Her confession. It involved a special touch. We've already talked about that. She touched the hem of the garment. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Not because He didn't know, but because He wanted that one that was bold enough to touch the garment to acknowledge herself and identify herself. Salvation is a private matter. When I got saved, when I trusted Christ as my Savior as an 18-year-old, I walked out of that side room at that church, a new creature in Christ. But there's only one person that knew it on earth, and that was me. Now, the fellow that had shown me the Bible and opened the Bible and led me in a prayer, he kind of suspected it, but he can't know for sure because some people can fake it. They can do anything. But when I walked out of that room, I knew something had happened. I knew a change had been made. I knew I'd been made whole and it had been done immediately. But I'm the only one that knew that. So you know what happened? 3 months later, in my case, I got baptized so that other people would know that I'd gotten saved. So I could make a public declaration of my faith to others and let them know what I'd done. The Lord wants us to identify with Him. That's what baptism is. It's about identification. In the Bible, things were a little different, and nobody waited more than 3 days that I can find to get baptized, and that was Saul of Tarsus. I had to wait 3 months because the church didn't have a baptistry. It was broken down, and we had to wait till they rented the pool at the city pool and had a baptismal service down there. I remember it. That's 50 years ago right now. And I still remember that because it was a monumental event in my life to me. But the Lord said, "Who touched me?" Not because He didn't know, but because He wanted her to have the boldness to identify herself. And He wants us to identify ourselves as belonging to Him and who we are. It was a special touch. And she had a splendid testimony. Look at verse 47. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before Him. She declared unto Him before all the people." Notice that. All the people. "She declared before all the people for what cause she had touched Him and how she was healed immediately." She wanted other people to know. The Lord called her out of that group because He wanted her to identify herself and to count herself among His followers. There are no secret disciples for the Lord. A secret disciple is an embarrassment to God. Because once He saves us, He calls us to be a witness. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." And so when this woman got healed, Jesus called her out, had her identify herself, and she had no problem. She declared unto Him before all the people. Some folks say this, "Well, my faith is a private matter." No, it isn't. Your faith needs to be public. Your faith needs to be proclaimed. Your faith needs to be shared. Your faith needs to be given to others. They won't always appreciate it. I understand that. I remember one time one lady I worked with telling me, my faith is a private matter. That's between me and God. Nobody else needs to know anything about it. You know what that means? It means I'm not saved. That's basically translated into modern English. That means I don't know the Lord as my Savior. Because if you know him, you're not going to try to hide that. This woman got healed. Man, she wasn't going to hide that. The splendid testimony she had and the spiritual truth. Notice it in verse 48. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. I like that word, comfort. You know what comforts us? In the midst of our life, in the midst of our trials and troubles, I get home at the end of a day, sit down in my chair, usually open my Bible up again, and thank God for my salvation. Thank God that in spite of what happened and circumstances of life, and I'm not saying every day is a tragic day, a bad day, don't misunderstand me, but when those days do happen, I can sit down and say, no matter what else happened, I'm still saved. No matter what else happens, I'm still going to heaven when I die. Because I touched the hem of his garment. And so the Lord says to this woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. You got comfort. You got peace. Because of what Jesus Christ has done. The world has a lot of stuff. Excitement, entertainment, zeal, enthusiasm at different times. You know what they don't have? They don't have peace. They don't have comfort. They don't have that assuredness. That only comes from touching the hem of his garment. That only comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It wasn't touching the garment that healed her. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. You and I come by faith to Jesus Christ. I'm looking at people I know have already done that. You've touched the hem of the garment, but it wasn't the touching. It's the faith. You know, people debate this big thing, this theologically split these hairs. You know, those folks last night, let's say that respond to the invitation. Raise your hand if you'd like to trust Christ. And someone opens a Bible and shows them. You know what the Bible says? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the... And I've had these guys tell me, what if an earthquake came right then and that person died before they ever got to pray the prayer? We want to split those hairs. You know what? When they responded in their heart to what God had called them to do. You know, somebody told me, I walked the aisle from the back of the church. When I got saved that night, I got saved on a Sunday evening. I walked from the back of the church. Somebody asked me one time, what if a brick had fallen on your head while you're walking down there and you never made it down there to do all that? Man, the minute I took a step out, the Lord had his arms open. And though that's an extreme situation and people are just looking for something to argue about, and folks do that all the time, it's faith that saves us. It wasn't touching the garment. It was the faith. It wasn't the movement of the hand or the feet. It was the movement of the heart. Go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thank God for God's ability not only to heal the bleeding woman, but to heal sinners today and make them whole by faith in him. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes.